I'm excited today to bring you a real special podcast. Today we have our guest, Stacy, a clinical psychologist here in the state of Wisconsin. Today, Stacy is going to address mental health issues associated with debt and associated with filing for bankruptcy. Stacy is going to give you some tips today on how to deal with stress and anxiety when it comes to dealing with bills, when it comes to dealing with bill collectors, and when it comes to dealing with the fear of filing for bankruptcy, or ultimately the fear and the procrastination that a lot of people have when it comes to making the decision to move forward to take care of their debts and take care of financial problems. There's a lot of great insight that you'll hear from Dr. Stacy Nye today. And I'm really excited that she was able to spend some time with us to address this really important issue. So thank you for listening. I'd really appreciate it if you would share this podcast, if you would like us on Facebook and YouTube, if you would subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcast. It's going to allow us to continue to bring great content to everyone and our clients. Thank you for listening, and we hope you are well. Thank you. Hello, this is attorney Jamie Miller, and I'd like to welcome you in to another edition of the Miller Law Chronicles podcast. Today, we have a really exciting topic. We're going to be talking about mental health and the emotional impact of debt and bankruptcy on our clients. And we have a special guest today by the name of Dr. Stacy Nye, and I'm going to introduce her in a second, but I'd really like to thank everyone for listening today and listening to all of our prior podcasts. I'd ask if you have a moment to like the podcast and subscribe to us, either on YouTube or on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. It allows us to continue to provide great content. So thank you again. And if you could like us, we'd appreciate it. But happy to introduce Dr. Stacy Nye to the program today. Thank you for joining us, Stacy.
Of course. Thanks for having me, Jamie.
I had an opportunity to review your resume before, and distilling down your resume down to 20 seconds or 2 minutes is impossible, but just going to give some of the highlights. You have a BA in liberal arts from the University of Illinois, and that you have your PhD in clinical psychology from Northwestern University Medical School. And you're also on the clinical faculty at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Lots to be proud of there. And you currently are the owner of Nye Psychotherapy, and you've had that practice since 2018. But you've been practicing in this area of psychotherapy for more than 30 years and went out on your own just a few years ago. I appreciate you joining me, and I really want to focus a little bit on an area of my practice and of the lawyers that work for me and my staff, and that's dealing with the mental health impact that bankruptcy and debt has on our clients. Our clients often present to us in a way where they're just emotionally distraught and sad and depressed and stressed. You know, according to the National Institute of Health, bankruptcy and debt directly impact the mental health of our clients. And dealing with debt and bankruptcy can cause shame and stress and leave people feeling anxious and depressed. Tell me a little bit about your thought on that and just some impressions that you have from that initial introduction.
Yeah, I think that it takes a tremendous amount of courage, actually, to come forward and say that you have this problem with debt and try to get some help, because there is a lot of shame around having debt, and it takes a tremendous toll on people. It's something that's always weighing on them. It's always with them, and there's a lot of guilt and fear and confusion, and people don't know what to do with themselves, right? Like they feel guilty when they buy something that they need, or maybe buy something even that they don't need. But we all need like food every day and things. And so I think it really weighs heavily on people and can lead to a lot of prolonged stress and worry and trouble with sleeping and even sometimes some thoughts about harming oneself.
And it's interesting because one of the biggest challenges, and one of my mentors that I have a lot of respect for, he always uses the comment that action kills fear. He always stresses that. And we see people that have financial distress and they may be dealing with that financial stress for a couple years before they take action. Mm-hmm. And before they take action to get help, to call a bankruptcy lawyer or call one of these companies that does debt negotiation. And you just said something in your comments before that dealing with it and actually taking action is one of the biggest problems they confront. But what advice do you have for people to help them gain the courage to make that first call? And what impact emotionally can having that conversation or making that call on our clients?
I want to say just as a preface to that, and you were talking about what your mentor said, what my mother used to say was anticipation was much worse than the realization of almost anything. And she was wiser than she knew, because one of our favorite maladaptive coping skills when we're anxious about something is avoidance. We all avoid things that we're afraid of. It's just human nature to avoid things. And what avoidance does is it makes the thing that we're afraid of bigger and badder. It just grows and grows. And the more we avoid it, even though we might have some temporary relief from, okay, I'm not going to deal with that right now, it just makes that thing worse. Because the treatment for that is exposure, is actually taking a step. And you can take little steps. You don't have to just jump into the deep end of the pool, but you can put a toe in and then a foot in, but you have to keep moving forward. And I think a lot of people find that, as my mom said, that when you're in the feared situation, it's actually much less frightening than all of the anticipation you had built up prior to doing that. I think once you make the call to the attorney, and, you know, especially if there's someone like you, Jamie, you're going to be reassuring and you're going to be helpful and you're going to say, we're going to figure this out. We're going to make it work. We've got some steps, 1, 2, 3, 4. I think there's probably a lot of relief that comes after that, after taking that step. So,
yeah, and that's great. We try to be compassionate and empathetic and understanding. And I think we do a good job of that. And whenever you have a problem and you need to address that problem, there's so much you find out by consulting with an expert that you only know what you know. And you stumble upon so much great information when you meet with someone who specializes in a certain area that can really help overcome those anxieties. And when I get the privilege, and I really think it is a privilege, to meet with people that are confronting financial issues and to have that conversation and to have them have the confidence in us to help. But there's nothing more rewarding than when I have an individual or a couple sitting in front of me and I can see how sad they are. I met with a couple yesterday, a gentleman that had been in the trucking business for 24 years and his wife is a substitute teacher and they live in a suburb of Milwaukee and they've been dealing with debt for a long time. And the husband's business is really struggling with high interest rates, high gas prices. He's working so hard. Revenue is really good, but his expenses are leaving almost nothing. And the two of them are the proud parents of three teenagers and they've done a good job and they've got by. But the husband presented in front of me and was so sad and so depressed and shameful that the primary breadwinner in their situation, that he was letting his family down and they were very scared. And I could hear their conversation. I could hear their fears. And as I was sitting there listening in the back of my mind, because I do this all the time, I was thinking, what's the solution that we could offer them? And I was like anticipating the end of them telling me their story. And then the relief that I was going to be able to provide them by giving them a solution. They came in very fearful, and it's always scary and talking to a lawyer. And then I told them what their options were, and they left in a totally different mindset. Right. That's the most rewarding thing that I can do, is to be able to present those options. I'm never going to tell somebody, come in, you need to file bankruptcy. That's what you have to do. We always view it as we're going to present you with the options and let you decide what's best for you and your family. But taking that first step, you know, is just so important. But when someone is dealing with it and they haven't met with a lawyer, what are some tools that you think that you could give them prior to making that call to help them deal with the anxiety that comes with the phone ringing and perhaps getting served with lawsuits and that type of thing?
Well, I think if there's any way to get support from people around you, that would be important. I know people are afraid of judgment, being judged by their family and friends. And, you know, I can't say that wouldn't happen, but I'm sure, hopefully, there's one or two people in your life that you can reach out to and ask for support. You know, help me figure this out. Help me create a budget. Help me get underneath this. I know people, when they're in this situation, they don't even open their email. They don't open their mail. If you just open all the mail, you have to really face these things a little bit at a time. And then I would say, take care of yourself. Do good things for yourself. Make sure that you're trying to get enough rest and that you're eating well and that you're exercising. I sound like a Geritol commercial, but those things are really important, that you continue to take care of yourself, because we also can get caught up in some other unhealthy coping skills aside from avoidance, eating too much or drinking too much. These things don't help. Or shopping. Like, some people use shopping as a coping skill, and obviously that is counterproductive and just some temporary relief, but in the end, you know, makes it worse.
What do you tell to the procrastinators out there? What do you say to them? They're procrastinators, but maybe their cup is always half full and they think something is going to change, but it's just been time after time, year after year, that they're continuing to deal with the same stress.
I come up with plans for people who procrastinate. Let's set some goals. Let's set some action steps and actually check in about it. Often, procrastinators are sometimes actually perfectionists. If they don't think they can do something perfectly, then they don't start. Or if they don't have 3 hours to sit down to going through their emails, they're not going to do any of it. So you really have to take it step by step, because again, like, those are excuses, right? And you need to just dive in. Even if you have 10 minutes, if you read 3 emails, then you've done something more than you've done before. But again, see if you can get some support around that. Even if someone can just be sitting in the same room with you while you're opening up your mail, it's nice to have that support nearby.
Yeah. And the other situation that I notice, especially when I see married couples, is that one of the spouses or partners seems to always take the responsibility of the bills and paying the debts and is very quiet about running into financial problems, and they don't discuss it with their spouse or partner. And then it just spirals into this frustration on both when the one spouse who's not, you know, managing the bills finds out about it. What are your thoughts on that? And how can we help people in that situation?
I think it's really important, on the one hand, that you play to people's strengths. In my household, Steve does the bills because he's better at math than I am. However, we know everything about what's happening. That's really important. You can't just do it all. And then, like in the old days, I think my dad used to give my mom an allowance. Like, that's kind of infantilizing, right? So I'm aware of everything that's happening at any given time. And I think it's really important that when you have a partner, that you know what's happening. Okay, we have this much in the bank. This is what your earnings are. This is what our spending is like. This is what we can expect. This is what we can save. It's really important that everybody is on the same page, that you have the same goals and the same kind of plans. Otherwise, you're going to be working against each other, obviously. So there shouldn't be secrets, and everybody should be aware.
The other thing is avoidance of those conversations. Any tips to help the spouse who or partner who is dealing with
Again, you know, avoidance just makes something bigger and badder and scarier. So coming together, you know, you might want to say to your partner, hey, there's something I need to talk to you about. And even if you're not going to do it at that minute, get a little accountability there. So then your partner comes to you later. Hey, what was that thing you wanted to talk about? So you really can't run away from it. But I just don't believe in secrets. So it's easy to avoid things, but they're going to find out, right? If there's a problem, and it's much better that you try to get ahead of it than have someone find out when things are in really bad shape.
And what does the role of therapy help with people that are dealing with anxieties from debts and from finances in general? It may not necessarily have gotten to a point where they need to file for bankruptcy, but maybe they have a gambling issue, or maybe they have a shopping issue or spending issue. How can therapy help people cope and deal with that?
I think therapy can be helpful in all of those scenarios. Like, often there's some underlying issue, whether it's simply procrastination or whether it's a full-fledged addiction. And so, you know, depending on which one of those things it is, that the therapy might look different. Sometimes, you know, like people maybe grew up in difficult circumstances. And so they don't want to live that way anymore. They want to just get what they want to get. They might not have the resources for that, but that's something that can be worked through in therapy. Because I think it's not really about deprivation. Living on a budget is not about deprivation. Living on a budget is about, can be really empowering. And it can help you to actually feel in control of your finances and your life, and help you save for retirement and things like that. Things that seem very far off to some, but you actually have to start when you're young. But taking control of it is empowering versus depriving.
Yeah, the shame that people have in what they perceive as embarrassment from filing a bankruptcy, and the public shame of the people perceive, which is less than people realize. When someone files bankruptcy, here in Wisconsin, we have CCAP, where we can look up court actions within our state and within the county. But the filing of a bankruptcy is a federal action. And it's very rare that friends are going to find out or kids are going to find out. Someone wants to find out if someone's filed bankruptcy. They can do it, but it's a challenge. But what thoughts do you have about people overcoming that kind of fear and understanding that the solution to the problem is actually more important than the concern they might have with embarrassment or the shame or anxiety that comes with filing a bankruptcy?
You know, I think that's like, I'm coming to therapy also. There can be a lot of shame. There can be a lot of fear and anxiety and worries about people finding out. And hopefully, once you take that step, you feel empowered, you feel reassured, and you have a plan, right? No one needs to find out. It's completely confidential.
And it is an overreaching kind of theme. And what I want really to get out of this conversation with you, Stacey, is I just deal with so many people that procrastinate, that don't get the help that they need. And days turns into weeks, and weeks to months, and months to years, and they're not happy, and the stress just spirals and gets out of control. What is your fundamental kind of final thoughts here about, as we talk about your grandmother and we talk about my mentor, just to get up, take care of it, and start to heal?
Yeah, for sure. I think if there's one thing people can get out of just listening to me today, is that avoidance is the problem. The longer you avoid, the worse something is going to get. And taking steps, even small steps, little by little, to get you towards where you need to go is really important to get you on your way. And as you take those steps, and feel, okay, that wasn't so bad. I guess I can take another step. The more you can do that, the more empowered and, you know, the more confidence that you have that things are going to work out and be okay. Whether that's creating a budget for yourself or whether that's calling an attorney or calling a therapist or all of those things, you know, taking steps and moving forward will actually feel much better and very reassuring versus putting your head in the sand.
I appreciate that so much. And the one thing I wanted to talk to you about on a personal note, which we didn't get a chance to talk about, was I didn't talk about your own podcasting history with the famous The Shit That Happens to Me podcast. And I had the absolute pleasure of being on your podcast a couple of years ago. And one of the questions that you always started off your podcast was, how do you know me?
Yeah.
And I wanted to pose that question as we conclude today, because we go back so far. I just want to chat about that for a minute.
You want me to talk about how I know you?
Yes.
Yes. Your brother, Todd, and my husband, Steve, are very good friends from college. And they went to the University of Wisconsin in Madison. They were fraternity brothers. Todd lives in DC with his wife, Marcy, and Steve and I moved to Milwaukee. I like to joke temporarily 28 years ago because I'm from Chicago. We met in Chicago. We were never supposed to live in Milwaukee, but we moved to Milwaukee. I don't know if you remember this, Jamie, but you were one of the first people to invite us over to your house for dinner. And I got to meet your, you know, lovely wife and partner, Felicia. And I don't remember what we had for dinner, but there must have been a salad. And Felicia served like grated Parmesan cheese, which this is, again, 28 years ago. And I didn't think I knew that Parmesan cheese came like that. I'm addicted to Parmesan cheese. And your wife opened me up to Sargento shredded Parmesan cheese. You probably don't remember the Parmesan cheese. But anyway, we have enjoyed lots of fun events and things like that with your family. I love the Millers so much, all of them, your sister and all the dogs. It's really great. Your kids.
You're so sweet. And I know that you and Steve are probably excited about the upcoming Brewers season, which is only a week away. I know you're a big Brewers fan, and your son Zach works for the Brewers, and I'm sure it's been very busy the last couple of weeks. So let's do a shout out to have a great Brewers season.
Yeah, go
please
Brewers.
Tell Steve I said hello, and I appreciate your time so much, and thank you for insight. And there's so much wonderful information on this podcast that I'm going to share with our staff and our employees. I'm going to make sure that they listen to this. And I know that many of our current clients and future clients will listen to it because it will give them some good confidence and strength to make the important call to reach out for help. Because as you and I both know, reaching out for help is one of the first things that we need to do to resolve any problems or stress. Thanks for all of your insight.
Yeah. Thank you, Jamie. Take care.